Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm John Batchelor. I'm visiting with Sonia Purnell, the author of Kingmaker. Bill Clinton is elected. There's a big party at the N Street address. I remember the New York Times made a big splash about it. I puzzled at the time. You've now explained it. This is gathering at the feet of the woman who inspired this victory. And the expectation is she will be rewarded. Not right away, but then Paris comes up. Does she want to be the ambassador to Paris?
Oh, yes, she does. I mean, people used to talk about her becoming ambassador to London, for example, but she knew the tabloid newspapers would be obsessed with her past. She thought, and this was a gamble that paid off, that in Paris, her sort of erotic adventures, as it were, would be celebrated rather than frowned upon. And to a large extent, she was right. In fact, one of the papers said that she had made the scandal of her past into an ornament. And I think Paris was rather flattered that President Clinton had sent them Mrs. Harriman. After all, she was obviously very close to the president, and she was also super glamorous. So this went down mostly, there were some detractors, some critics, but mostly extremely well in Paris, and she was very pleased indeed, but also very nervous. She knew that, unlike most ambassadors, she had no high school education, she had no university education, she had no formal diplomatic experience. Obviously, she had enormous informal experience, and so she studied really hard before she went out there.
Mitterrand loved her. Chirac loved her. I don't think the French hesitated, did they? Was there those catty remarks, were those French remarks or were those English?
Largely not French. There were a few. Some of the wives who of Paris, of the wealthy of Paris, were not so keen on her returning, I think it's fair to say. But the catty remarks were, yes, they were largely not from French officials, but from others. I mean, there was one who said that she was in she was expert only in rich men's ceilings. But if anyone ever said that sort of thing, she would pluck a UN Security Council resolution out of her handbag and then discuss the finer wording of Article 9 brackets just to show them that she was there to be a very, very serious diplomat. Sure, she was a political appointee, but that's absolutely not something she took for granted. And she earned her position in a very, very big way.
The 50th celebration of the Normandy landing. She was a principal in hosting President Clinton. She connected the Élysée Palace with the White House. Was that appreciated by these detractors?
I think it was the start of a lot of people changing their minds. She certainly did very well. She kept the whole thing together. But the organisation in something like that is absolutely huge. And also there was this whole thing that President Clinton's presidency had started in quite a rocky way. He had a lot to prove on the international stage. This had to go really smoothly. This had to prove him to be a leader on the world stage. And she knew how important it was for her to get it right in the organisation. And she certainly did. And Clinton came out of that, I think, pretty well. And in fact, I found a letter from him to her in her private papers saying that both he and Hillary were enormously grateful at the way it turned out and it had been down to her.
Bosnia, the massacres that followed the breakup of the Soviet Empire, in especially Yugoslavia. Again, the young men she met in Georgetown, I'm thinking of Richard Holbrooke and Sandy Berger in particular, were principals in dealing with the European situation, the crisis of Europe. There was reluctance on the Americans to get involved. I'm going to guess that Pamela Harriman provided the connection that was necessary for the Dayton Accords. Is that accurate?
I think she did two things. And by the way, I mean, President Clinton has said that she was a big part in our efforts. And the French have said that, you know, her role was, quotes, invisible but decisive and all of this. And I think she did two things. First of all, she set up an incredible line of communication between President Chirac of France and Clinton in Washington at a time when normally Washington and Paris did not get on very well. Relations tended to be pretty prickly. And she got over that. She overcame that completely. She got these two men talking and liking each other and understanding each other. So that was also really key, by the way, in terms of getting a Western alliance that could potentially take on the Serbs and end the bloodshed. The other thing she did, and people like Christiane Amanpour, CNN, were kind of witness to this, and, you know, Christiane's been extremely helpful. She brought a sort of moral compass to all of this. She knew, she was the only one who knew what it was like to be bombed night after night after night, to think all the time that you're going to lose everything, your friends, your family, your house, your city, your country. She knew the terror, the horror of that like no one else. And she also knew that it was really down to her. She was the last one of that war generation on the international stage pretty much by now. That it was up to her really just to keep going on about it, saying, you cannot let this happen again. We must stop it. We must get together and stop it. So she did two things that were really key, and which have been celebrated behind closed doors and hailed behind closed doors. But certainly she was a big part of it.
High blood pressure. Pamela Harriman has high blood pressure. Why that's significant is just a moment to acknowledge there was a great sadness in her life as she's in Paris, and that is the children of Avril Harriman are fighting her over the fortune which has been badly invested and is bleeding away. And Sonia, you're very clear that that was always on her mind as she conducted her life in Paris, and she told Bill Clinton after the re-election that she would leave Paris. What was she thinking at the time, where her future lay with the money leaving her?
I think this was a devastating time for her. She was under intense stress. Her closest friends and advisors, her aide, Janet Howard, said to me, you know, it was killing her what was happening. The lawsuits, the counter lawsuits, the accusations of what she'd been up to. I think, you know, it's now pretty much accepted that the advice she was given was very bad. But the advice came from the people who Avril Harriman had appointed before his death. Sure, she probably should have asked more questions, but she didn't. She was busy doing other things. And so these lawsuits were coming closer and closer to her, demanding more and more money. Her money was draining away. She'd invested it here, there and everywhere. And she faced the possibility of bankruptcy at the time that she was working on the Bosnia War and many other problems too. It was too much. Her days were too long. They were too frenetic. They were too stressful. And her doctors were very worried about this. She did have this problem with high blood pressure. She tried to alleviate that pressure by taking a daily swim in the pool at the Ritz whenever she could. Most days, not always. So there was one particular day where she had a terrible, terrible headache and she hadn't been right for a while. And her deputy chief of mission in Paris says, I'm worried about you. Take a break. Everything is taken care of today and go for a swim.
Pamela Harriman leaves us. Washington is shocked. Bill Clinton pays tribute to her at the National Cathedral during the funeral. 8-minute speech, I think, is what you say, Sonia. What did he tell America about Pamela Harriman in that speech?
So she had a huge brain hemorrhage in that pool. She never recovers. She dies. Clinton is obviously emotional about it. And he tells the congregation that day that he wouldn't have been there without Pamela Harriman, that she had taken part in so many great events of the 20th century and shaped some of them, that she had been an extraordinary friend both to him and to Hillary. He wanted to put to bed all those ideas that there'd been, you know, a huge fight between the two of them that wasn't true. And that he wanted really to sort of say that she had been a great person and that she had been misunderstood and that she had played a great part for her adopted homeland.
Kingmaker. Sonia Purnell is the author. Pamela Harriman's astonishing life of power, seduction, and intrigue.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.